Father God, I thank you for what you are doing. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Praise your name. And so, Father, as I minister your word for a while here tonight, I pray that everyone under the sound of my voice will have open ears to hear and an open heart to receive your word. Hallelujah. And we thank you for it, and we give you all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, let's go back to Revelation, the second chapter. Amen. And I've talked to you some about the first church, which is the church of Ephesus. And we've spent some time on that. Actually, if you want to know the truth, we could spend much more time there. But I want to move on to the second church, which we have a couple of weeks ago, the church there at Smyrna. Amen. And that's beginning at verse 8. Verse 8. It begins like this: to the angel of the church in Smyrna write. Now, I've told you some weeks back, and you know, here's the thing, not everybody agrees. Let me tell you something. There are people that love God, they're on fire for God. Amen. They're on fire for God, but they don't always agree exactly on everything, or maybe they see some things in the Word of God a little bit different. Stay with me now. They may see it a little bit different, but they love God. They are born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And they believe that he is the only begotten Son of God. Amen. And through him is eternal life. And there's only one way to God, and that's through Christ Jesus. Can I get another amen?
Amen.
Now, the reason I said that is because, and I told you a few weeks back, that Jesus talked about the angels of the churches, and then he talked about the candlesticks or the lampstands, and we understand from first chapter that the lampstands is referring to the churches. Amen? Yeah, the lampstands are referring to the churches. And then he talked about the angels of the churches, the angels. And because that word angel is interpreted in the Greek as angelos, some believe that these are actual angels that are speaking to the church. Well, just because they believe it ain't, they're angels, don't mean that they don't love Jesus and they're not born again or spirit-filled. But I believe that this is referring to the pastors of the churches, the pastors of the churches. And we won't go into all that again tonight because we want to move on. But I shared with you some weeks ago some verses where that same Greek word was applied to individuals. And that was distinct. You understood very clearly that this is referring to an individual. This word angel or angelos simply means messenger. Messenger, okay? It means messenger. So I believe that John is writing to the pastors or whoever is in leadership at these particular churches. Amen. But now, you know, if you disagree with on that, there's no reason for us to fall out over that. Isn't that right? Amen, because I love Jesus. How about you? He's my Lord and Savior. How about you? And let me tell you something else. I love the Word of God. Amen. And the Word of God need to be preached and taught accurately. And nobody knows it all. You hear me? Nobody knows it all. So look, if I find out that I'm missing it in an area of the Word of God, look, I'm going to change. You understand what I'm saying? I'm going to change. You know, because we're all growing, we're all learning. And when you get to the place where nobody can tell you anything, you're in a dangerous place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. Having said that, let's move on. But I believe this is talking to the pastors, the leadership of these churches. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, verse 8, again, to the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these things say, and this is Jesus speaking, these things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about this. We won't spend a lot of time on this other than to say Jesus is proclaiming to that church and he's proclaiming to us today and every other church of the Lord Jesus Christ that he is alive and he is alive forevermore. He is the first and he is the last, and there's nothing that's going to take him down. And we are to put our trust in him. Somebody say amen. I say we are to place our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. Let me read on. And he went on to say, I know your works. I know your works. You see that? Verse 9. I know your works. Sometimes we feel like God don't care or he's not paying any attention to what we do for him. But I'm here to tell you, he knows your works for him. Amen. And listen to what else he said. He says, I know your works, tribulation, and poverty, but you are rich. And I'm just going to read through it, and then we'll come back and talk about some things. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of these things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you in prison. Notice who's having them thrown in prison, the devil, not God. God get blamed for things that he don't do sometimes. Do not fear any of these things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you in prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Hallelujah. You have to understand that if you're going to live godly, if you're going to do what's right, not everybody's going to like you. Can I ask you to do something? And maybe you've done it already. go ahead and settle it in your mind and in your heart. I will not compromise. Amen. Well, some of you confessed it. That's good too. Praise God. Amen. I will not compromise. You got to get to a place to where you are not moved by what people think about you. As long as you know that you are doing what's right, long as you know that what you are doing pleases your Heavenly Father, and as long as you know that what you're doing and how you conduct your life makes God look good, if you follow what I'm saying there. In other words, it brings glory and honor to Him. People may not like you, but they know whether you're real or phony. Let me say that one again. People may not like you, but they know, they can recognize if you are for real or not. I mean, you can shout hallelujah all day long, dance, and go through all the whole thing. But you have to understand, you watch every day, not just on Sunday morning. Our lives is a book that's read by the world. Amen. Glory to God. So understand something. Jesus already knows what you have to deal with in life. None of this stuff catches Him by surprise. Turn in your Bible and put it on the screen for me. I'll just read it off the screen to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 15. I'm sorry, scratch that. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. And I hope you have this highlighted or underlined in your Bible. Let's look at what it says. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. You hear me? We don't have Jesus is our high priest. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Listen to this. But was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Amen. So you're tempted, you're tested, you're tried in many different ways. But you have to understand and know that Jesus knows where you are. And He walked that road and He won. Go ahead and put verse 16 up there. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So when it's getting tough and the test is on, your high priest says, come on to the throne of grace. I'll give you everything you need to win in every situation. Do I have any winners in here this evening? Amen. Glory to God. And listen, you have to have a winner's mentality. If you don't have a winner's mentality, you're going to lose, and you're going to lose a lot. Hallelujah. So Jesus already knows what we're dealing with in life, and He's already made the way for us. Don't you ever forget that. And that's what He was telling this church. I've already made the way for you. And he talked about the poor. Look, let's go back. He says, I know your works, this is verse 9, tribulation and poverty. Now, I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life as I was growing in the Lord when we struggled to have our needs met, and we were standing on God's word, and sometimes it felt like, and hear how I'm saying it, sometimes it felt like God wasn't even listening. Sometimes it felt like our prayers were just bouncing off the ceiling and coming back at us. Jesus is telling these folks, and he's telling us today, I know about your poverty. I know your lack. I know your lack. But what did he tell them? What did he tell them? He said, but you're rich. But you're rich. But you're rich. Turn in your Bibles to the book of James. Just flip back just a few pages to the book of James, chapter 2. Now, if you learn anything, please grab a hold to what I'm about to read to you right now. James, chapter 2. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. We live in a fallen world, don't we? Amen. Yes, we do. Amen. Well, let me go ahead and read, and then I'll say more. In James, chapter 2, and I'll just begin reading at verse 1. It says, my brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into you, your assembly, a man with gold rings in fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes. Tell you what, the word of God gives us the answers to practically everything, doesn't it? And listen to this. And you pay attention to that one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in a good place, and say to the poor man, you stand there or sit here at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thought? Are you ready for verse 5? Listen, my beloved brethren. Has God not chosen the poor of this world to be what? Rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him. As believers, we must make sure we have the right priorities in our lives. Now, this verse is not saying God wants everybody poor. That's not what it's saying. Okay? What it is saying is get your priorities in order. Love God. Build your faith in him. He says, I've chosen the poor that's rich in faith. And by the way, can I let you in on something? If you rich in faith, you won't be poor for long. Why? For my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory. But we must have our priorities in order and seek Him first and not the money first, not the material things first. You seek God first. Well, matter of fact, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and what will He do? He add the rest to you. But you got to seek God first. Your first priority must be God. Must be God. Because my faith is going to carry me out of here in victory. But any material thing that I gain will remain in, and you, all of us, will remain here and burn. One day it will be consumed away. We can't take anything with us. You still here? We can't take it with us. Amen. I thank God for His blessings. And you should too. Even our food, what are we told to do? Bless it. Give thanks. Even before Jesus performed a miracle, with the loaves and fishes, what did He do? He gave thanks. He gave thanks. We should always have a thankful heart. Whether you have plenty or whether you have little, always have a thankful heart. But God is looking for a child that is rich in faith. That means he or she is trusting God and not what they have or don't have. Because they understand that my God is more than enough. Hallelujah. So James 2:5 says, listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom of God, kingdom which He promised to those who love Him? Amen. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but that's good stuff to me. I wrote this down, and I didn't write it tonight because I've ministered along these lines some years back, but I wrote this down. God does not mind us having money at all, but He wants our hearts right. If the money goes, do we go with it? I think that's a fair question, don't you? Amen. And I think we read this the other week. I'm going to read it again. I'm going to have them put it on the screen. Philippians chapter 4, verse 10, because the Apostle Paul had the right attitude here. He had the right attitude. Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Verse 11. Now listen to what he says. Now, you have to understand something. Paul was not rejecting their care for him. He was not rejecting their giving. Okay? Amen? Amen. But listen to what he said. He says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned. Everybody say learn. Say it again. For I have learned in whatever state I'm in whatever state I am to be content. In other words, I may not be in a comfortable state, but don't lose it. Don't panic. Paul says, I'm content. Now, how could he say that? Why could he say that? Well, he's reflecting what we just read in James. There are times in Paul's life when he had little, or maybe nothing at that particular moment. Are you ready for this? I hope y'all are grabbing this. It did not affect his faith. It did not change his relationship with God. He says, I've learned. Now, he said, that just didn't drop on his head like an apple off a tree. He said, I've learned this. And that's the reason we should hear the word of God every day, receive the word of God, read the word of God, hear the word of God, consume the word of God, so that we can learn how to stand regardless of the situation around us. So he said, I've learned. I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. Why? Because God is still God. Go ahead to verse 12. And listen to what he said. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned. Now, you know, here's that word again. I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. I've learned. I've learned. Verse 13. Oh, you've heard that one before, haven't you? I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. We read him behind a man just before he went to be with Jesus. One of the things he said was, he said, I've kept the faith. Somebody find that real quick for me. We're going to put that on the screen. Give it to me real quick. Bible scholars, come on, y'all. Yeah, that's it. 2 Timothy 4:7, right? Beginning. Put that on the screen for me. 2 Timothy 4:7. Now, we were just reading. Now we're going back to Philippians chapter 4, but I wanted to go here. Now, notice back in Philippians, he talked about how he had learned to be content. He had learned. And he learned that he can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. Notice it's through Christ, not through Paul. Now, at the end of his journey, listen to what he says. I have fought the good fight. Right? I have finished the race. Right? I didn't stop midway. I didn't get discouraged, discontented, and quit. He says, I finished the race. That means everything that God told him to do, wherever God sent him, he accomplished it. He got there. He got it done. When he had plenty, when he had little, he still got it done. And look at what he said next. I have kept the what? That's what God's looking for. Those that are rich in faith, they're not tied up in their personal wealth or whatever. And again, God blesses us abundantly. But he wants our priorities in order. And that's him first. And he says, I have kept the faith. When I had plenty, I stayed in faith. When I had little, I stayed in faith. And we could go to Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, and man, we could stay there for a few weeks. Paul talking about the things that he had to go through. But he didn't, and I'm paraphrasing it, he went through these things, but he never allowed these things to get on the inside of him. They were going on out on the outside, but he never let them get on the inside. Verse 8, please. And then he goes on to say this. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me, or give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Amen. Count me in on that. How about you? Anybody else? Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. All right. I just wanted us to go there. Praise God. Praise God. Now let's go back to Philippians chapter 4. Verse 14 this time. Now remember the Apostle Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then he said, that's 13. Then he said, nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. In other words, Paul had a need. And this Philippian church, the saints, gave to him. He didn't reject their offering. That's the reason we're told to give. Everybody say give.
Give.
Say, I am to be a giver.
I am to be a
giver. Amen. Amen. And that's how you get also because of your giving. And that's a scriptural principle. That's a Bible principle. But I want you to understand, he was in a tough situation, but he kept the faith. And God came through for him. And at his very end, he said it, I kept the faith. I don't know about y'all, but that excites me. Praise the name of the Lord. And then Jesus said to this church back in Revelation chapter 2, he told them to be faithful. even unto death, be faithful. And I believe he's speaking to every church, regardless of where you are right now. Be faithful. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 2. That's verse 10. I'll read it again. This Revelation 2:10. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. And this is what he says, be faithful until death. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Be faithful until death. Listen, saints of God, and I'll stop right there for this evening, but let's make up our minds that I'm going to be faithful to God until death or the rapture, whichever comes first. Until death or the rapture, whichever comes first. I am going to be faithful to him. Matter of fact, we owe him that because he sure was faithful to us. He suffered, oh Lord, he suffered for us. He went to the cross for us. Died and went into hell for us. He did it for us. He was faithful to his Father for us. Let us, as he told this church at Smyrna, be faithful. And you say it this way, be faithful the rest of your life. Faithful. Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of that, folks? Praise the name of the Lord. I could go on, but I'm not.